What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. We are sponsored by Indeed in Kale and Company News Live. The body of a Philadelphia police officer, Jamie Broman, was led by his fellow officers to a funeral home early this morning. He is the Philadelphia police officer who's been hospitalized ever since he was shot, gunned down during a traffic stop. This happened back in June, and we received word actually last night from the police commissioner, Bethel, that, in fact, Officer Jamie Broman had lost his battle to survive after that shooting. He served in the 25th district, and he was, we're told, surrounded by family, had bravely fought since that shooting. This is the case of 36-year-old Raymond Rodriguez Vasquez being held right now on $12.5 million bail in the situation. And I had detailed it during the 6 o'clock news as to what happened here. But the bottom line is this was a police officer who should have been able to do a routine traffic stop, gunned down by this suspect who we later learned, in fact, back in 2011, had fired on officers in Puerto Rico after an alleged carjacking. And so many questions still surround the situation. Why did Vasquez, why was he able to flee Puerto Rico, come here, and now essentially do the same thing? So we have that going on this morning. Just the FOP Lodge 5 and yeah. A lot of love and prayers. And say a prayer for the Roman family. He has a wife and children. So, and it's a reminder for, you know, families who back, you know, behind the badge. And that's something that, you know, you've been very involved with Nick and Greg and fundraising. Greg Stocker Sucks, which he does not suck, but GregStockerSucks.com. Well,
according to the chat today, I do. So
depends on which sources you look at.
But thank you.
You're welcome.
Who's saying stuff? Saying stuff about you in the chat?
Yeah, I just, you know, people are just like, we are.
Hey, you know what, Greg? You do it to yourself, pal. Do it to yourself.
The debate wasn't as bad as we were saying. Well, and you know, I think Maga Maga Man thinks that I know everything, and I portray like I know everything. I'm like, okay, you guys can believe what you want. You know what
no,
I mean?
In your defense, you've been doing this for 20 years. But yeah. As far as Trump winning, I don't know if this means anything, but I'm a little surprised. I just got a text from an anonymous texter. Greg, you probably know who it is. C-SPAN's Twitter poll from last night, over 170,000 votes. Who won the debate? 75% say Trump.
Wow.
I didn't expect that coming from a C-SPAN Twitter feed, but well, whatever.
Tell Harry thanks.
And I will say this, that we needed last night for Trump. The one thing I disagree with Greg about is that Trump did not lose his fastball. But what he learned is, you know, the night before the Super Bowl, you don't want to be playing a game out on the West Coast and then travel.
I didn't say he lost it for good. I just said he didn't have it last night.
He didn't have it last night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just had a so here's the thing that Trump, you know, my God, look at the last not even 2 months of his life, but since the time he was shot, went right into the RNC. It's been a whirlwind since July 13th for him. And so you think about that 8 weeks of his life at any age, if you're 20 years old, you'd be exhausted.
It's been a whirlwind 8 weeks for me since my family moved back up here. I'm shot too.
Yeah, see? So think about that. So think about what he's been through. He has never slowed down, and this is an opportunity now. Mr. President, we hear that sometimes you watch or listen. So take a breath. Take a breath for yourself. Take a moment, and during the next debate, you know, just slow down on the rallies and focus in on it. Seriously. And don't listen to anybody else. Don't let anybody else get into your head.
Right.
Because he has great instincts.
Yes.
Yeah, well, stop listening to...
Don't listen to what I said.
Social media people.
Yeah, don't listen to social media. And unfortunately, you know, I think Fox was among the news sites that were reporting that dogs were being eaten in Springfield, Ohio, or whatever.
So, and by the way, stop sending me the article of things. This person did, and this person says this.
Me?
Stop. It's just stop.
Me?
No. Not you. I'm talking to listeners. What did you see this? What did you see this? Social media lies to you. Let me say that again. Social media lies to you. Thank you.
Meanwhile.
I don't get my news from social media. You know, and for those of you criticizing Greg, do you know, because our buddy boy died. Do you know Greg and Stephanie Stalker? Here's Greg. They said, I get this beautiful box, this beautiful package. I was like all teary.
Wait. Your dog died?
Didn't I tell you?
No.
I'm a horrible person.
Sorry. The dog that you live with. Buddy boy. The one we talk about on the show.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I thought I told you.
No.
I'm so sorry.
Well, when did this happen?
It happened right around Labor Day.
Oh.
Over the long weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Dawn. Yeah. I did not know that. I'm a big dog fan, as you know.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm so sorry I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
And so Greg and Steph sent this beautiful box with, food and comfort food and chocolate chip cookies.
You don't have to do this.
I know I don't have to, but people
Greg's
are
trying to maintain his hard radio image.
I know. He probably doesn't want me to. But, you know, we kind of cried in the, had a verklempt moment in the hallway. And so that's Greg. Greg has so much heart. And so.
Thank you. This is still the news, right? You didn't have to.
Okay, sorry.
Well, it's news to me that Buddy died.
I'm sorry.
I enjoy taking bullets. You know what I mean?
Like, he likes looking like a tough guy, but he's got a soft heart. I'm just going to say. But in any event, we have so much going on locally, nationally. And as we think as a nation, 8:30 this morning, that is when commemorations really begin across the country. And, of course, in our region, for example, in Lower Bucks County, the community coming together to honor the 23rd anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, with many commemorative events scheduled across the region. So here in Philadelphia, Bucks County particularly, was hit very hard with 18 people alone in Bucks. And so we think of those families, and whether or not you were born at that time, there are so many commemorations, including the Garden of Reflection, which is so beautiful. I guess they did not hold their candlelight evening ceremony this year. So I guess they're not doing that. They're going to do it for the 25th anniversary in 2026. But certainly we're holding them in our prayers and making sure that we honor the dead, and as well those first responders still battling the health problems after bravely running in and trying to help, recover after that horrific terrorist attack. So we also have in Philadelphia work underway right now to break down the security perimeter around the National Constitution Center after the presidential debate last night. So crews are still removing the last of the fencing and the barriers to fully reopen that area around the site. And it's expected to take still a couple more hours. I will say I just had seen an update that PennDOT is doing these rolling closures around that area. So just a heads up, if you're commuting, if you're coming in, that they had, within the past half hour, closed, for example, the I-676 eastbound ramp to the Ben Franklin Bridge. That was shut down again this morning. So they're doing these rolling closures, so just pay attention to that. Heads up on that one. And as far as debate reaction, I know we'll get to more on the debate reaction. Tulsi Gabbard, she had X'd out, not tweeted out, but this debate is 3-1. But Chris Christie had put out the word that those moderators should be fired. So just some reaction as we look
at Chris Christie did?
Chris Christie.
And that's ABC's his former employer.
He was saying,
excuse me, did I say the moderators?
Yeah.
I apologize, I misspoke.
Okay.
He said the Trump's prep people.
Oh,
well.
Pardon me.
Well, okay.
Thank you for catching that.
I was going to say, man, he wants David Weir fired. That's
no,
a take.
I don't agree with Chris Christie on much, but he is correct on that. His debate moderators or debate coaches should be fired.
Coaches, yeah.
Well, that's what you were saying earlier with Tulsi Gabbard and Laura Loomer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have all of that going on. And Tay-Tay, who's expected to sweep up in the VMA rewards this evening, issued minutes after last night's high-stakes presidential debate. The pop star Taylor Swift shared a lengthy Instagram post. I'm sure that everybody saw it, saying that she'll be voting for the Veep, Kamala Harris, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Somebody was saying that, like, she can now kiss her Republican Trump supporting fans goodbye. Mm. Do you think she has a lot of them?
I'm not sure that she does, but whatever ones that she does, I think they're. You talk about cults. I'm going to get ripped for this. The Swifties are a cult.
It's true. Oh, 100%.
So I know every time I rip Taylor Swift on Twitter, my mentions explode.
Everybody can poo-poo this, but what Massa Taylor wants, she gets.
We're going to break that down as well as the second debate after the news for sure.
She signed her post, Taylor Swift, childless cat lady.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the way that she...
I'm going to bite my tongue until next segment.
Okay, sir. A lot going
How's that
on.
Pick of J.D. Vance looking?
I know.
should have listened to Dawn. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah, yeah. I don't think she would have said that.
Nope. And we do have some important economic news. If you're wondering why you look at the futures, they were down today. There's more economic news to be released today. So we'll be watching the markets and as well the latest economic news. That'll be huge when it comes out. But we're sponsored by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and then conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
By the way, speaking of the Taylor Swift endorsement, Elon Musk, bro, stop being creepy. Did you see what he tweeted about this?
No, I didn't.
He offered to give Taylor Swift a child.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to offer a child, but, what happens before the child's created? I'm down with that. You see her at that Chiefs game last week, bro? Those boots.
How many kids?
She neuters men, though. Have you seen Travis Kelce with his dumb hair now?
I know. And his mustache.
And his mustache. Oh, and his mustache. And he's singing along with her, and like, ugh.
Maybe for November 6th, if we get the results, and regardless of the results of the election, maybe I'll come in one day and I'll just have nothing but a mustache for a show. I'll do the Travis Kelce mustache.
My answer to Taylor Swift, though, is that, if she and Travis have a baby or whatever, she can afford to have her baby.
Oh, yeah.
She can afford to have her baby. A lot of families after relations are doing plan B because in this economy, they're saying, we can't risk getting pregnant right now because of this economy. We just can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, I can't afford to have my kids either. By the way, my kids are for sale.
Stop it.
Wendy said no one is voting for Harris because of Swift.
Good.
Okay.
I'm going to save my take for after the news.
Okay.
Wendy, I hope you're right.
I'm
going to have a little coffee here.
Okay.
But it's not, the thing about it is, it's not a surprise.
No, of course
endorsement,
not. No.
Like we all figured.
We all knew she wanted to.
Yeah. But by the way, was she waiting for Harris to not suck?
I think that she, yes. I think if she would have sucked in that debate.
She would have been quiet.
It would have, yes. Because notice there was nothing for Biden after the 27th.
That's correct.
The June 27th debate.
Yep.
Bing, that's bing. A good point.
Yep.
So we are sponsored in our forecast by American Heritage Credit Union. We talked about the fact that our Phils beat the Rays last night, and 6:40 tonight, another beautiful night for baseball this evening. So we're still rocking it in the 80s, low to mid 80s the rest of the week, and then the weekend 86, 87-ish. But the trend this week, just an incredible summer-like week because we're still in summer. And so it's beautiful weather. 85 today will be the high. But right now we're at, 58 degrees. Is it 58 even?
I've got 62.1.
62.1, according to the Kale and Company Doppler radar on YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHE. By the way, everybody watching right now, please hit the thumbs up button. Hit the like button on today's show, even if you don't like it. and also, please hit the subscribe button. I really, really, really need you. It's all free. Hit the subscribe button. We need to get in people's algorithms so more people consume the show that you love or hate so much.
So Greg Socker says, even if you don't like it, push the button, please.
And we don't really care if you love it or hate it as long as you listen to it.
Don't worry. I'll be gone soon. It's fine.
What? You're not allowed to leave me.
I did that just for you, Don.
I know.
Don't worry.
Like, don't say it. American Heritage Credit Union. I'm going on to the sponsor. Buying a home with the MyCU Home Connection Program through American Heritage Credit Union. Unlock exclusive cash rewards, benefits, discounts. Learn more at AmericanHeritageCU.org/homeconnection. That's AmericanHeritageCU.org/homeconnection. Insured by NCUA. Not a member? Join today. NMLS 433838. This is Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. The official endorsement, the words of Taylor Swift, we will give you those. And more importantly, and I want to stress more importantly, what should happen and should debate number two happen? And when will we get it? We'll get to that next here on Kale and Company.
So you've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I love the work that the Chapman family team has done on my home, and soon they'll be back for some new improvements. This is the time of year, right, when you think about heading into the holiday season, entertaining. And so whether you need some windows, door, they really do it all, and they do an incredible job. But if you're thinking about updating your front entry door, right now is the perfect time. For the entire month of September, Chapman is offering free hardware on a brand new front entry door up to the value of $500. And oh my goodness, an updated front door can really change the curb appeal of your home, increase resale value, but also it's just a quick makeover, if you will. Just gives your home a whole new fresh look, especially coming into the fall season. So whether it's a single door, double door, or a door with the side lights, that's what I have. Chapman's experienced project consultants are going to help you choose the perfect new front door for your home. If you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, or hardware, or that front door, they really do it all. Give them a call, text. They're listening right now. They're like-minded. They're local. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. Visit them online, chapmanwindowsdoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get the Swift nonsense out of the way, because I think the second debate is obviously more paramount. But I do think the Taylor Swift endorsement matters. I posted a poll question on X. Will Taylor Swift's endorsement of Kamala Harris have an impact on the election? 67% say no, 33% say yes. I actually think that's an accurate sample. I think it's probably 2-1 that it won't. But the fact that one-third of people believe that, I actually believe they are actually on the right side, because I don't think her endorsement matters exponentially. But in a razor-thin election, I mean, think about this. Georgia decided by 10,000 votes. Easily flippable for Trump. But you factor in a Swift endorsement, maybe that works against him. Same thing Arizona. 11,000 votes. Pretty easy to flip that. Pennsylvania is going to be more difficult. 154,000 vote difference from 4 years ago, but still, I think Taylor Swift will have an impact. Now let me rip her for this ridiculous post. Quote, she said this on her Instagram, "I need to be very transparent about my actual plans for this election as a voter. The simplest way to combat misinformation is with the truth." To which I just wanted to, like, provide a little editorial here and be like, you know what? Let's not talk about misinformation last night, Swifties, all right? Because Kamala was spewing debunked lie after debunked lie, Charlottesville, it's a bloodbath, on and on and on and on. And you, look, you could be transparent, Taylor, but we all know you were going to endorse Kamala as long as she didn't crash and burn. She says, I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the 2024 election. I'm voting for Kamala Harris because she fights for the rights and causes I believe need a warrior to champion them. I think she is a steady-handed, gifted leader, and I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm and not chaos. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection of running mate Tim Walz, who has been standing up for, get ready for it, LGBTQ plus rights, IVF, and a woman's right for her own body for decades. Now, here's another thing where I have an issue with. She says, I've done my research, and I've made my choice. I don't think Taylor Swift was spending hours upon hours doing research. Your research is all yours to do, and the choice is yours to make. I also want to say, especially to the first-time voters, remember that in order to vote, you have to be registered. I also find it's much easier to vote early. I'll link where to register and find early voting dates and info in my story. Guys, I get there's like a double-edged sword here. It's like a double whammy. You hate Taylor Swift. I got that. You hate early voting. I got that. But when Taylor Swift is sitting out here advocating for mail-in ballots, I'm just going to remind you, Election Day does not start November 5th. It starts September 16th. So you can cry and kick and scream like a five-year-old being drug out of the mall, or you can start voting on September 16th. Taylor Swift is going to increase the early lead for Democrats if you sit on your computer from September 16th through November 5th tweeting about how you hate mail-in ballots. If you want to start 400,000 votes in the hole, knock yourself out. But I'm telling you, Democrats are going to have the lead if you don't embrace what Donald and Laura Trump have been telling you to do. The system sucks, but it is what it is. Embrace it and utilize it like the Democrats do, or lose. That's up to you. So, do you guys think that the Swift endorsement matters? Because I would say yes, and they can rip me all they want. I believe the Swifties are a cult, and if you're a parent or a father of daughters, you can verify what I'm about to say. Last October, when that Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert that was put in movie theaters was out at the theaters, I saw women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I don't know that I saw them in the 60s or 70s, but certainly 20 through 50. Yeah. Dressed, it was just like the Barbie movie in the summer. They were dressed up like 16-year-old girls on prom night.
Somebody said, well, Taylor Swift has like the 15-year-old endorsement. That's not, Taylor Swift has been around a long time. She doesn't have
almost 20 years.
She does not have the 15. Yes.
Millennial moms.
Yes.
Correct.
There are a lot of people, of women of voting age, that buy into all her nonsense and all her crap.
Yes.
And will, you know, it's, she's reaching the like low information, uninformed voter.
Correct.
And if you think that there's not a sliver, maybe more than a sliver, that are going to do it just because she says it, you're fooling yourself. And by the way, these elections come down to a sliver of people.
Trump is already fighting an uphill battle against single, childless, career-oriented, suburban females. You don't think Taylor Swift just made it more difficult for him?
Yeah.
You're outside of your ever-loving mind.
The right now on the, because Phil just put up the same poll on YouTube.
Okay.
Does Taylor Swift's endorsement matter right now? Let me see where we are here. 54% say no.
Okay, well, it's almost a coin flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it only has to be 46%. It only has to be 33%. If it's 10%. I mean, I remember about a year ago, roughly, don't quote me on the date, but she had some other sort of post where she was encouraging people to register to vote, or maybe it was even registered to be a Democrat, but she got like 30,000 new registered 35. Democrats.
Yeah.
35.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. 35 right there. That includes that could flip Arizona and Georgia. If Arizona, Georgia was going to go Trump by like 3,000 votes, well, that just gave it right back to Kamala Harris.
45,000 people. Let me repeat that. 45,000 people in a couple swing states decided the last election. 45,000 people.
Yep.
She registered 35,000.
Right.
So just remember that.
I will say, you know, when Senator Marsha Blackburn was up for re-election, Taylor Swift had endorsed her opponent who lost.
Mm-hmm.
So she, in her home state of Tennessee.
Yep, and I know Marcia.
Yeah, she did not, Taylor Swift did not sway that election.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, obviously Marcia Blackburn is very popular there,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, is Taylor Swift on a national level, you know, so she did not impact a local election or a statewide election.
Right.
So now what does that mean on the national stage for a presidential election? I don't really know. If I mean, to Greg's point, you know, these elections are so tight, but I really, honestly, you think of Springsteen here in Philadelphia before the 2016.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, different, though. It's different, yeah. though. It's different. Like, people are not, you know, waiting on their hands, you know, their hands and knees waiting to hear who Bruce Springsteen endorses. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing with Trump last night. You know, he talked about Virginia. I think it would behoove him to use the line that Glenn Youngkin has talked about, the pain threshold.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that if Trump says that,
yeah.
that, you know, we have to think about the pain threshold. In Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz signed into law and repealed a Babies Born Alive Act. What that means is that an estimated at least 5 babies in Minnesota, the last time they kept the stats, which was 2021, 5 babies who were during an abortion were born alive and they, quote unquote, died. So, you know, Trump was not wrong. And with the ABC moderator, Lindsay, when she said no babies in America are killed or executed after the abortion, well, the truth is that because of the repeal of the Born Alive Act in Minnesota, Trump was correct. You can please do your own homework. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. That is a real deal. And Tim Walz actually repealed that Born Alive Act such that abortions can be performed if the fetus is born alive. They actually have on record the fact that they, you know, can do what they do.
855-839-1210. Christopher in South Jersey can feel my pain. Christopher, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Good morning. You just have dog talking about homework. I'm the father of 3 daughters. Last night, one of my daughters had homework to watch the debate. Mm-hmm. Within the first minute, when they were asking Kamala if the economy was better, and she went off on that tangent, my little daughter, my 14-year-old, goes, look, she's deflecting. And I laughed my head off, and I said, all we have to do is be good parents. Our kids are going to pick up on that. And I'm listening to you guys this morning. I love everything I hear. Teach your children, man. It doesn't matter if they're Swifties. My kid went to the Eras Tour up in Glassboro at the planetarium thing. They are independent-minded, but we as good parents, we can still make a difference. And I just want to say to all the parents out there, keep plugging away. Trump 2024, we got it.
All right, Christopher, ooh, thank you
positive energy.
For the call. Let's go. We'll stay in New Jersey. Lou is in Hamilton. He's up next. Lou, go right ahead.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Great show. Great show as always. Listen, she won on performance. She got under Donald Trump's skin, and that's all she did. She had no substance whatsoever.
Right.
Donald Trump had the facts. If there's going to be a second debate, Donald Trump should absolutely agree to having notes because he has the facts on his side. And as far as Taylor Swift goes, let me just say this. I'm on my way into work today at a manufacturing facility, and people are going to be laid off today because of the economy.
I'm sorry.
It's all about the economy. Those people will not be sending their daughters and their wives to an Eras concert because they're not going to be able to afford it.
Yep. Yep.
Great show. Keep up the work. Love you guys.
All right, Lou. Thank you very much. And sorry to hear about some of your coworkers and colleagues.
Sucks.
Yeah, it does. We'll wrap here with Charlie in Philadelphia. Charlie, you're next up. You go right ahead, Charles.
Yeah, I think personally that Trump scored a victory and just controlling himself because I thought he was going to get a few minutes into there and like explode. I mean, everything she says is just a lie. I mean, she wants to redo the border now and this and that and the other. She hasn't done nothing in 4 years. What's the change now? And I mean, where's she had for 4 years under the bed with Biden? I mean, what? And I thought he was. I'm sure his handlers told him you got to control yourself. That's the main thing. Because if you snap out, you're going to look like a caveman, and you're going to look like a wife beater or something. You know what I mean? And, and all the women will be voting against you. And he did that. He did. But he also looked very haggard to me and my wife. She even said, she said, boy, he doesn't look good. I said, well, you know, he got shot in the ear and got right back on a horse and started plugging again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to give the guy a lot of credit for his age and what he's been through, which is amazing.
Sure.
It really is.
Sure, especially with it being a 3-on-1. I mean, Trump had to be his own fact checker last night, which maybe did. And if I'm being objective about it, even though I didn't think he had a good night, I mean, Kamala's got, you know, two moderators doing her fact checking. Trump's probably trying to think as he's listening to her, okay, I'm going to fact check her on this. I have to remember what my original point was. Then I have to have my rebuttal. I mean, you know, at 78 years old, you got a lot going through your mind in that setting. You know, that certainly does have an impact. We'll kick around the second debate concept and what we think of that as we continue during the cut sheet. We'll weave that in. And the cut sheet is coming up next. 855-839-1210. We'll continue to mix in your calls throughout the cut sheet. And then we've got Tony Bruno at 8:30. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This weekend, it's David's birthday. Family's coming over. Do you ever notice when you have company over, family over, and everybody ends up in the kitchen? I mean, the kitchen is really the heart of your home. And it, when it comes to your home, I do think that trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation, impeccable reputation, for transforming kitchens with precision, professionalism, and such care, from custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, storage solutions. They get the job done fast in just a few days. Your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. So trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades. Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. KitchenMagic.com. Cook up something extraordinary. KitchenMagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Enough of us. Let's hear the actual combatants and also the talking heads in the post-game fallout. Time for a Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a C40 for $369 per month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception. Except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Imagine that. No taxes in New Jersey. Visit Cherry Hill Volvo today. All right, let's just go in order here. The first question that came out from the debate last night was on the economy. It's funny to see Kamala Harris like talk about how, like, on, you know, during my administration, I'm like, haven't you been in office for 3.5 years?
Uh-huh. 3 years and 10 months.
Can you control this? All right, Phil, cut eight. Kamala Harris's response to the economy. Cut eight, go.
Years ago, and your opponent on the stage here tonight often asks his supporters, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? When it comes to the economy, do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
So I was raised as a middle class kid, and I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America. I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people. And that is why I imagine and have actually a plan to build what I call an opportunity economy. Because here's the thing. We know that we have a shortage of homes and housing. And the cost of housing is too expensive for far too many people. We know that young families need support to raise their children, and I intend on extending a tax cut for those families of $6,000, which is the largest child tax credit that we have given in a long time, so that those young families can afford to buy a crib, buy a car seat, buy clothes for their children. My passion, one of them, is small businesses. I was actually, my mother raised my sister and me, but there was...
No, she doesn't answer the question.
Of course not.
Aren't you better off than you were three years ago, whatever.
You notice the nerves and the anxiety that I picked up on right away, because those microphones are so sensitive. It was almost like she was talking, but she forgot to breathe as she was speaking, which is imperative as a public speaker. But she started that debate off by reciting a scripted answer to a ordinary, entry-level, routine question that yeah, first of all, you know, has to be the top thing right off the bat, right? They're not going to start on abortion. They're not going to start on immigration. They're going to start on economy. And I thought she totally botched that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people don't notice. No. And it goes viral and it's clipped. And it's not. And by the way, the moderators say, could you please, you know, the follow up is, could you please answer the question?
Yeah. And then they stopped being moderators and mm-hmm. went right in the tank for her because they know on that example, that issue, that topic, there's no way that the moderators can spin the economy against Trump and in favor of Kamala.
What was Trump's answer on that? Cut nine, Phil. This was Trump's answer on the economy. Cut nine, go.
She knows that. We're doing tariffs on other countries. Other countries are going to finally, after 75 years, pay us back for all that we've done for the world. And the tariff will be substantial in some cases. I took in billions and billions of dollars, as you know, from China. In fact, they never took the tariff off because it was so much money they can't. It would totally destroy everything that they've set out to do. They're taking in billions of dollars from China and other places they've left the tariffs on. When I had it, I had tariffs, and yet I had no inflation. Look, we've had a terrible economy because inflation has, which is really known as a country buster. It breaks up countries. We have inflation like very few people have ever seen before, probably the worst in our nation's history. We were at 21%, but that's being generous because many things are 50, 60, 70, and 80% higher than they were just a few years ago. This has been a disaster for people, for the middle class, but for every class. On top of that, we have millions of people pouring into our country from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums, and they're coming in and they're taking jobs that are occupied right now by African Americans and Hispanics, and also unions. Unions are going to be affected very soon. And you see what's happening. You see what's happening with towns throughout the United States. You look at Springfield, Ohio. You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that Xi and Biden led into our country, and they're destroying our country. They're dangerous. They're at the highest level of criminality, and we have to get them out. We have to get them out fast. I created one of the greatest economies in the history of our country. I'll do it again and even better.
See, right there, did you notice the cool, calm, calculated demeanor of Trump? That was his best policy, laser focus, tunnel vision moment of the night. And if I were to sit down with Donald Trump in a film room right now, you ever been in a film room on a football team? It's dark. You get the projector.
Back to this.
You got the projector up and you're going through the game footage.
Yeah.
I would play that clip. I would play that clip for him, and I would say,
"Smoking weed and getting laid."
I would play that clip for you, and I'd say, "Dude, it's Biden, dude, just keep doing that, and you will walk out with the public saying you had a great night."
Except when he says they kept the tariffs, we know what he's talking about. He needed to accentuate that and say the Biden-Harris administration, which has been in power for, you know, nearly 4 years now.
Yep.
They decided to leave in place my policy of holding these tariffs because even they, even Harris, the vice president, I would have said Biden-Harris because you have to accentuate they've been in office. This is her administration, and her administration even left my policy in place mm-hmm. because it hauls in so much money for the country.
Yeah. You know what I would do? And let's just say, I'm just throwing a date out here. Let's say if they have a second debate, it's October 10th. From October 5th to October 9th, I take Trump's phone away. I take his laptop away. I take social media away. No rallies, no TV appearances, no nothing. And I stick him.
You can't do that.
I stick him in the basement. And I get him so prepared.
It's not his comes. He's never going to do
it. It's not going to happen.
I'm just telling you what I would do to make sure he comes out looking great. He would be like Matt Foley in the SNL skit down in the basement chugging coffee and come out like a cannon.
If he just took it easy for 2 to 3 days because he has such an incredible work ethic, and the guy has more energy than, I mean, most people we know. So,
including me.
I would say, yeah, just take a couple of days. By the way, the vice president of the United States, was not working, apparently, as the vice president of the United States for the past 5 days.
I know.
She was here in Pennsylvania, made no appearances, and apparently, you know, we're paying her. She's on, you know, she's on the payroll, but she took it easy for 5 days
yep.
to memorize those answers, and that's the best she could do, and to start out nervously like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember that. So all he has to do is I think he does need to take at least 2 days before the next debate. Rest up.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm saying.
You want to be fresh.
She brought up Project 2025, tying him to that right out of the gate. Cut 10, Phil, go.
And dangerous plan called Project 2025 that the former president intends on implementing if he were elected again. I believe very strongly that the American people want a president who understands the importance of bringing us together, knowing we have so much more in common than what separates us. And I pledge to you to be a president for all Americans.
President Trump will give you a minute here to respond.
Number one, I have nothing to do. As you know, and as she knows better than anyone, I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. This was a group of people that got together. They came up with some ideas. I guess some good, some bad, but it makes no difference. I have nothing to do. Everybody knows I'm an open book. Everybody knows what I'm going to do. Cut taxes very substantially and create a great economy like I did before. We had the greatest economy. We got hit with a pandemic, and the pandemic was not since 1917, where 100 million people died. Has there been anything like it? We did a phenomenal job with the pandemic. We handed them over a country where the economy and where the stock market was higher than it was before the pandemic came in. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. We made ventilators for the entire world. We got gowns. We got masks. We did things that nobody thought possible. And people give me credit for rebuilding the military. They give me credit for a lot of things, but not enough credit for the great job we did with the pandemic. But the only jobs they got were bounce back jobs. These were jobs bounced back, and it bounced back, and it went to their benefit. But I was the one that created them. They know it, and so does everybody else.
Vice President.
Again, I thought very good rebuttal from Trump. I don't know how many times publicly he has to say that he in no way is going to implement Project 2025. He's given his 20-point bullet point agenda for 2024 and beyond. And he's talked about it. It's been posted on websites, social media. That was the first of many lies from Kamala Harris. That being said, it still doesn't mean that it won't land with some voters, and some voters might say, what's this Project 2025? And they look at it and they go, oh my God, I can't. No, but yes, I mean, he has distanced himself from that. And now the only criticism I would give is you can't say you know nothing about it and you've never read it and then say some of the ideas are good and some are bad. Well, how would you know that if you didn't read it, dude? I mean, like, come on, man. Like, don't BS a BSer. I'm sure you've looked at it. And you can say that. That's fine. You've owned it. You've said you're not going to use it. You're not utilizing it. You're not affiliated directly with it. And that's good. And I believe it because at the end of the day, you know what's happened? We've lived his first administration. So all this, you know, threat to democracy and radical stuff, I mean, my God. Trump's a centrist. If you listen to Bill Clinton from 1995, you would think he's a Democrat.
It's funny. Jamar on the YouTube chat says he sounds better to me on the cut sheet. Do you guys feel that from watching it last night?
Well, no. I mean,
as opposed to the clips that I'm playing, do you feel like he?
No,
he sounds better.
No, because I thought he sounded good in those two clips. Regardless,
okay.
I thought last night economy and Project 25, he was good.
I do, but. You know, and we're hearing this from more and more people who are big Trump supporters. He did look, he did not look fresh. He looked whether he was aggravated. And let's just face it, it is aggravating. It's aggravating. The moderators were aggravating. The fact that they, you know, let some things go and didn't. The fact that even Snopes, we talked about, came out and debunked that claim that he was saying, remember, Charlottesville.
Fine people.
And right. And the fact that they let that go, and then the fact that they said, you know, after he's talked about Tim Walz repealing the Born Alive Act, which is correct, he was fact-checked. So I don't know whether he was aggravated with the monitors or what really was going on, but he did seem like he wasn't that fresh, quick, you know, Trump that we see at rallies and so on.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think rally Trump versus debate Trump is different. Mm-hmm, I also feel true. Like the first two answers last night was almost carbon copy from June 27th, where he was almost low energy, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And then he did get antagonized and agitated, but he also, for and this is where I actually give him credit in one setting, where I actually think he shoots himself in the foot in another setting. At times when he gets a little too loosey-goosey at the rally, it kind of works against him from the standpoint of the media taking something out of context. But usually he's really buttoned up from the standpoint of being able to walk in the lion's den. And look, CNN was the lion's den, right? Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, they're no friends to Trump. We know that. But last night, something was different as we got about 20, 25 minutes in.
Yep.
It's like Kamala's nervousness wore off and Trump's composure like evaporated.
So I'm going to lift the curtain here a little bit. Here on the radio, we do segments and stuff by what we call quarter hours. And it's, you know, it's 15 minutes of an hour. So like last night, 9 to 9:15 and then 9:15 to 9:30. If you the majority of people, I'm going to say this again, the majority of people did not watch the entire debate last night. I think the majority of people probably watched the first 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
I think that's fair.
So in that 30 minutes, what do you see? You see the economy, which I do think Trump was good on, and Kamala Harris was nervous. The second question, though, about abortion. And I don't think he was strong on that answer. I don't think she was particularly strong either. But I just think that it was. And then the question after that is when he started going into migrants eating people's pets.
Right.
And so that's the first 30 minutes.
Yep. This will be the one time where I guess I'm going to, I don't even know if I can give them credit because it's so obvious. Like, why praise somebody for doing the obvious? But they started with the economy, which should be the number one issue. I think is the number one issue, which is clearly advantaged Trump. But then I think they gave it back to her and put the ball in her court with abortion, which is clearly the Democrats' strong suit, right?
Let's go to that next question on abortion and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. This is cut 11, Harris, on what Trump will do nationally for abortion. Cut 11, Phil, go.
Back in place the protections of Roe v. Wade. As president of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. But understand, if Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign a national abortion ban. Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages. I think the American people believe that certain freedoms, in particular, the freedom to make decisions about one's own body.
So there's one takeaway that I had during that. And again, I have said many times on this show that I think Roe v. Wade, June 2022, can be the death knell to the Republican Party. But I actually like the way Trump handled it. And I know we didn't play Trump yet, and that was Kamala. But as far as the national ban, I'm in favor of what Trump ultimately goes on to say, which you'll hear here, is that he doesn't have to. And he said he's already said he will not, although I think last night he did not answer that question directly when the moderators asked him, would he sign a national ban? Because, look, he doesn't have to say it, nor does he likely implement it, because it's back to the states. And I think his whole objective was to get this out of the federal court system and make this a state-by-state issue. So in Trump's defense, regardless of where you stand on female reproductive rights or pro-life, pro-choice, however you want to, you know, frame the subject, again, it's already resolved, at least in his eyes. It's back to the states. Tennessee is different than Pennsylvania. Ohio is different than California. So I don't think that was terrible from him. But I also don't think Kamala, if that's her wheelhouse, I don't know that she would knocked it out of the park either, which is kind of one of my criticisms of her today.
Well, now the bar has risen for her.
Oh,
because
sure.
Because she was not horrible. She did not have a major gaffe, and the moderators made sure of that. And if you think about what Greg said, and that's significant, I think part of what very well may have knocked Trump off a little bit was when the one Lindsay, the one ABC moderator, contradicted him and said, no babies are executed after birth in America, Well, he was talking about Minnesota in particular, and he was correct. Look it up for yourself. I think that, in part, did knock him off a little bit and frustrate him.
I'm going to play his answer. Phil, let me play this one. I'm going to play the answer that he gave on abortion here.
I want to turn to the issue of abortion. President Trump, you've often touted that you were able to kill Roe v. Wade. Last year, you said that you were proud to be the most pro-life president in American history. Then last month, you said that your administration would be great for women and their reproductive rights. In your home state of Florida, you surprised many with regard to your six-week abortion ban because you initially had said...
By the way, this is why people hate... these news moderators. Could Lindsay What's Her Nuts and Muir be any more stiff?
I know.
And like, I know. Okay, Johnny, back to you.
Yes.
Like, no personality.
No. Nobody talks like
never
that.
Never a smile
life.
Or a greeting.
It just the robots.
Yes.
And it's why, like, the first thing when they came on, it looked, welcome tonight. It's just like, oh, God, can you give me personality?
David is such a zombie. It's nauseating.
Just like, have all these facts in their heads, like Rain Man, and they're just like, I mean, I just, well, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, they're savants.
They're
not savants. They're reading from a script or reading from a prompter. They're not savants, and they were off, and you know what? They're getting panned this morning. They're widely panned.
Good.
All right, a little bit.
And they deserve it.
Good.
A little bit more here.
That it was too short. And you said, quote, I'm going to be voting that we need more than 6 weeks. But then the very next day, you reversed course and said you would vote to support the 6 week ban. Vice President Harris says that women shouldn't trust you on the issue of abortion because you've changed your position so many times. Therefore, why should they trust you?
Well, the reason I'm doing that vote is because the plan is, as you know, the vote is they have abortion in the ninth month. They even have, and you can look at the governor of West Virginia, the previous governor of West Virginia, not the current governor, who's doing an excellent job, but the governor before, he said the baby will be born and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby. And that's why I did that, because that predominates, because they're radical. The Democrats are radical in that. And her vice presidential pick, which I think was a horrible pick, by the way, for our country, because he is really out of it. But her vice presidential pick says abortion in the ninth month is absolutely fine. He also says execution after birth. It's execution, no longer abortion, because the baby is born, is okay. And that's not okay with me, hence the vote. But what I did is something for 52 years. They've been trying to get Roe v. Wade into the states. And through the genius and heart and strength of six Supreme Court justices, we were able to do that. Now, I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. I believe strongly in it. Ronald Reagan did also. 85% of Republicans do. Exceptions. Very important. But we were able to get it, and now states are voting on it. And for the first time, you're going to see, look, this is an issue that's torn our country apart for 52 years. Every legal scholar, every Democrat, every Republican, liberal, conservative, they all wanted this issue to be brought back to the states where the people could vote. And that's what happened. Now, Ohio, the vote was somewhat liberal. Kansas, the vote was somewhat liberal, much more liberal than people would have thought.
I mean,
but
9-0.
Each individual state is voting. It's the vote of the people now. It's not tied up in the federal government. I did a great service in doing it. It took courage to do it. And the Supreme Court had great courage in doing it. And I give tremendous credit to those six justices.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
That's a lie.
Madam Vice President, I want to get your response.
That is a lie.
Go ahead, Don.
That is a lie. Look it up. The Born Alive Act in Minnesota, and you just please look it up for yourself, because this was widely reported by all media, but this was Tim Walz repealed this in 2023, last year. And so he repealed a law that said if a baby was, if an abortion, let's say, was botched and the baby was born alive, you were supposed to consider that baby, you know, viable and not do, you know, that was against the law in Minnesota to do anything to harm the child. You were supposed to treat the baby, etc. Tim Walz repealed that. And so at this point in Minnesota, And there are some states, like, and also D.C., where there are really no limits.
Yeah.
And you can look it up for yourself. I'm not saying anything that's crazy or right-wing or anything of that nature, but that was wrong for Lindsay to say that.
Yeah, that was in her wheelhouse as a female, and I was honestly not surprised that she did it. I was expecting that to be the subject where she pipes in. And look, there's two things here. One, I think Trump handled that well as far as explaining what his goal was, what he did as far as getting it back to the states. He also cited statistics that almost 8.5 out of every 10 Republican that is pro-life also does believe in, you know, the exceptions as far as rape, incest, preserving the life of the mother. But here's the reality of the situation, regardless of statistics or facts or common sense or whatever you might be, no matter where you stand on the issue, you can't run from the fact that since Roe v. Wade occurred in the summer of 2022, and Trump kind of alluded to it there, and you heard Greg's comment as well, 9-0, Kansas, Ohio, maybe more liberal than people expected in those states, certainly, you know, Ohio being a red state. Republicans, when abortion has been on the ballot in the last 2 years and 4 months, have lost every single election. So you can be pro-life all you want, but here's the thing. I've always said, if Trump doesn't undo Roe v. Wade, I still think every Trump supporter is with him. I don't think you're bailing on Trump if he didn't get that accomplished and appeased you. But I will say this, if left untouched, I truly believe this. And there's two things I truly believe as far as election results. Number one, in 2020, if not for COVID and if not for George Floyd, Trump is still president. And number two, I do believe that this is the bugaboo for Republicans. And this, in a world where there's more females and more females that are younger are skewing further and further left, and they are single and they are childless and they are career oriented, and they hear people like Kamala talking about female reproductive rights, that gets them emotional. And I truly believe, even those that are not polled, that's a silent group of females out there that might not have a Harris Wall sign in their yard. They're coming for your boy on November 5th. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that.
This is the moment at 9:27 last night, 9:28, when the debate went off the rails. Kamala Harris went after Trump, insulting him on his rallies. And that's when they had the eating pets answer. I'm going to start, Phil.
This is carnage.
Phil, I'm going to play this one. This is how it started when Kamala Harris intentionally got under Trump's skin.
And I'll tell you something. He's going to talk about immigration a lot tonight, even when it's not the subject that is being raised. And I'm going to actually do something really unusual, and I'm going to invite you to attend one of Donald Trump's rallies, because it's a really interesting thing to watch.
Oh, boy.
You will see during the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom. And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you. You will not hear him talk about your needs, your dreams, and your desires.
Talking right
and
to
I'll tell you, I believe you deserve a president who actually puts you first. And I pledge to you that I will.
Vice President Harris, thank you. President Trump, on that point, I want to get your response.
Well, I would like to respond.
Let me just ask, though, why did you try to kill that bill, and successfully so? That would have put thousands of additional agents and officers on the border.
First, let me respond as to the rallies.
So then he responds to the rally. So that's the first.
The bait.
That's the first, you know, part where you know, she knew how to get under his skin.
Yes,
and then.
But again, this is where I mentioned in the big take, style versus substance. Stylistically, that landed. Substance wise, completely false. I mean,
yeah, he needed to say
right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
After letting at least 15 million people country?
I was thinking specifically on the rally stuff, but no, you're right as well on immigration.
Boom, David, are you kidding me? You're asking me about this proposal that she's talking about?
Well, and
after she is in this administration right now.
Yes.
They let all of these people in.
Right.
And by the way, that proposed legislation came 3.5 years into her administration.
Yeah.
They let all of these tons of people come in, and it was bad legislation. That's what he needed to say.
Well, and I've said too, you know, from a bottom line standpoint of, you know, the politics of this, wait a minute. It's like, for 3.5 years, you didn't want to fix the border, and now you want me to give you the get out of jail for free card down the stretch run of election? and maybe this is sinister to say, but this is, and maybe it's diabolical, but this is politics. I'm sorry. You guys were responsible for a lot of deaths and rapes and assaults. I'm not letting you off the hook here and shoring things up for you. It's like, whoa, Trump would rather run on the problem than fix the issue. You know what? In June of 2024, you're damn right I'm going to run on that. I'm not helping you out now. No way.
So I'm going to play a little bit more of this, and then Phil, I'm going to go to cut 13. I'll cue you when I get there. But this is when he gets distracted about the rally sizes. You know, he took her bait.
She said people start leaving. People don't go to her rallies. There's no reason to go. And the people that do go, she's bussing them in and paying them to be there.
Yep.
And then showing them in a different light. So she can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back. Our country is being lost.
There you go. So.
But see, you know what? Yeah. Here's where I push back on the Harris stuff. If he doesn't make it about the people, his whole platform is about the people. I mean, from the economy to crime and wars and our border. I mean, we lived it. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was paying $2.13 for a gallon of gas, I felt like, you know what? Yeah, it's helping me. I'm part of the people. I mean, the people have been decimated under the Biden-Harris administration. But to me, at the end of the day, this is, and you know, the rallies mean the world to him. And his rallies are kick-ass. They're very cool. I've never seen anything like it. But as I've said on social media, like on a Saturday in the summer when there's a rally in Wisconsin and all the grifters are, oh, look at the site. Dude, the rally. So first of all, some of these people go to every single one. They travel the country in Winnebagos. So that's number one. But again, it's just like the same thing with social media. What I see, you know what the new thing is now? Oh, so-and-so got ratioed. Oh, he got ratioed. Dude, ratios don't mean a damn thing in elections. Yeah, we got to stop worrying about the petty stuff of like rallies and speech sizes. It does not mean somebody's going to win or lose an election because of it.
For her to say anything about his rallies, you know that she's just trying to get under
yes.
her skin. Because
I know.
It is. Nobody has ever seen anything like
yes,
his
it's
rallies
his little baby.
In politics. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever like it's the most love Trump, hate Trump, whatever. You can't. Take away the passion that people have for him, and these rallies are right there to
no doubt
prove it. But I do agree with you that it's not indicative
right.
of you know winning an election or not. Just like lawn signs aren't either.
I've never seen Trump's odds and polls and I've never seen his probability or his polling numbers move based on a rally size.
Yeah,
Trump's answer to that should have been this: the only time people left one of my rallies was July 13th.
When I got shot.
After a gunman
yeah.
shot Corey yep. Capitor, comparator,
yep.
and killed him, mm-hmm. injured others, and tried to assassinate me.
Very
That's
loud.
The
Very
only time
point.
Anybody, including me, left one of my rallies early. And I vow right now to head back to Pennsylvania, to Butler, PA, where we will honor Corey and his life.
Yep.
That should have been what Trump said. Boom.
But instead,
mic drop moment.
But instead, he talked about migrants eating pets.
Yes.
Cut 13, Phil, go.
People to come into our country and look at what's happening to the towns all over the United States. And a lot of towns don't want to talk. It's not going to be Aurora or Springfield. A lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame. As far as rallies are concerned, as far as the reason they go is they like what I say. They want to bring our country back. They want to make America great again. It's a very simple phrase. Make America great again. She's destroying this country.
So, I mean, and her reaction to that, where she was kind of laughing at him and making him look foolish,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's being played all morning
yeah.
long.
It makes him look crazy. Now, do you have the part where he says, I saw it on TV? That's a little bit later in that clip on that subject matter.
I don't think I do. No.
I think it was when Weir jumps in. It was in my big take. I'm sorry. I think I just heard Dawn
yeah.
say that.
Yeah.
It was one of the clips in the big take. And as soon as he said, well, I saw it on TV, I immediately thought of this.
Can we stop getting
getting our news from Twitter?
Because, and look, I didn't know about whether the story's fake or not. But the point being, I didn't know this story existed until yesterday when, Dawn, you brought it up, and then you and Greg were arguing over it. I still, other than paying attention in the last 24 hours to it of what he's claiming has happened, I was oblivious to this whole thing.
The story should be, this town in Springfield, Ohio, is, they have an immigration problem there.
Yep.
And
20,000 people have descended on a community of 55,000. Okay.
What state is this again? You said Springfield,
Ohio.
Springfield, Ohio. Okay.
J.D. Vance.
You say descended, but in 2014 there was an article in one of the premier papers in that town, basically saying our population here is dying off. We need an immigrant influx to breathe some life into this town again. So it looked like they wanted this, or at least the politicians there wanted this. So it's not just like they were dropped off in the middle of the night.
So let me ask this question.
This has been a 10-year thing where these people are coming in.
For context, I think this is an important question. Is Springfield, Ohio a red town or is it blue?
Oh, I'm sure it's red.
Okay.
I'm sure it's red.
Yeah, and Republican Ohio Governor Mike DeWine released a statement yesterday and says he does not oppose that temporary protected status program that they have.
Yep, and he's a Republican.
But he asked for the federal government to do more to help impacted communities. So what he is saying and what they're saying in that town, to your point, maybe they wanted some people to come in. The problem
legally,
is...
Maybe legally? Not illegal. Like, that's the thing. Like, Republicans have this label of, we don't want any... No, we just want you to come here the proper way. And, oh, by the way, not be the bad ones that are rapists and murderers and assault artists. That's all we're talking about
but
here.
But this whole debate should be about immigration, and
right.
That's a fine debate to have.
Yeah.
The problem is that social media grifters turn this into Haitians eating cats. That's and it all started on some private Facebook chat.
Yeah,
so all I'm saying is that it's a legitimate issue.
Yeah.
PBS NewsHour did a 10-minute segment on it. The New York Times wrote a story on it 10 days ago. Like, there is a real issue in this town about immigration and how it's affecting the community, but it's being overtaken by this stupid conversation that, you know, might be true, might not be true, who knows? But, like, you're not seeing the actual problem in this town.
Right.
And what Trump should have said, just say the facts. Say on Monday, the attorney general in Ohio has announced that he's directing his office to look into filing a lawsuit and to stopping the federal government from sending, quote, an unlimited number of migrants to Ohio communities. So Trump could have said that even communities that welcomed a legit asylum seekers like Springfield, Ohio, the problem is all of a sudden, you know, they were welcoming, but now they're sending an unlimited and unvetted number of individuals. That would have been appropriate for Trump to say, and
yeah.
It's creating a humanitarian crisis.
As I said in the 6 o'clock hour, instead of cats and dogs, you could have said two other words, Lakin Riley.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if... When we talk about the police brutality stuff, right, I said when the Lakin Riley tragedy in Georgia on the campus of Athens happened, I said, Republicans, this needs to be your George Floyd moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they have totally forgotten about Lakin Riley. So, again, this is messaging. Democrats for 4 years have been giving us George Floyd, George Floyd. I mean, Tyreek Hill in the news. George Floyd, George Floyd, a black man in America, the whole bit. Lakin Riley, immigration is your winner. Greg has said it. This election could be immigration versus abortion. Your ace up the sleeve next to the economy is immigration and the border, and you got caught up in cats and dogs.
This is where a disciplined debate coach like a Rich Zioli I hate to say it, Chris Christie, would have prepped him on the facts, but instead you have Laura Loomer and Tulsi Gabbard, who live their entire lives on social media, telling him about these, filling his head with this crap, because you know he didn't see this stuff. He's not on social media. He's not.
Oh, Trump?
Yes. He's not on social
media. No, he definitely is. He does his post on Truth Social.
He posts, but he doesn't...
Oh, you mean following accounts and things? Well...
But, you know, in those moments, to mention... So he was... I think he also conflated, and this goes to better debate prep, where he conflated, you know, multiple stories about immigrants and migrants. So he could have... So for Governor Mike DeWine, their daughter, Becky, died in a car accident years ago, and I believe it was Father Tom Hagen, who was, obviously a Catholic priest who they knew has schools in Haiti, named them after their daughter. And that's the Haiti connection with Republican Ohio. So they've invited people who are in a place that we know is torn by gangs. But the problem is, and that's what Trump could have focused, should focus on, and we all should focus on, that even when they're welcoming legit asylum seekers, now because of the Biden-Harris policy, you have people who are, not like the other Haitians, who are very hardworking family people who want to escape a horrible situation in their home country, who have legit asylum, paperwork going through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, in fact, people coming here illegally because of Biden-Harris's policies, they're preying on those very Haitian migrants who've come here as legit asylum seekers.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So those are the kinds of things that Trump could have said, because a lot of those Haitians are Trump voters.
Yeah.
You don't want a broad brush and say they're all bad. They're not.
I agree with one thing Stocker said, disagree with the other. I disagree on Tulsi Gabbard. I don't think Tulsi Gabbard is feeding Trump social media conspiracies. I do agree that a lot of that comes from people like Laura Loomer. And this is not to knock any of these people, but this is the truth. And I'm just going to rattle off a few Twitter feeds. I'm just telling you right now, all they do is give you one side. If you think ABC is biased towards Kamala, these people that probably some of you, if not many of you, follow on Twitter, they're not giving you the clear, true story and the picture from the Laura Loomers, who look, and some of them, they get it right sometimes, but they're cataclysmically wrong on a lot of other issues. I know everybody likes to tweet and follow that cat turd guy. That guy's a loser. Don't follow that guy, okay? Because he's only telling you what feeds your brain and your ego. And there's a bunch of them out there. And some of them follow me. I get along with most of them. I've had private conversations with them. But I'm telling you, like the Jack Posobiecs of the world, Charlie Kirk, they're not your buddy. They're in it to make to ride the Trump train to profit. Stop listening to the 22 people that you follow that just feed you the minutiae. Please. It's not the real world.
On Harris banning fracking, she was called out by the ABC moderators. She says she would not ban fracking. Cut 15, Phil. Go.
My values have not changed, and I'm going to discuss every one of the at least.
Can I stop it for a second?
We're here in Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry. And then Phil started over. The way they worded it, I forgot about this. The way they worded this, they're like, so you flip-flopped on this. Now, we know your values haven't changed, but your policies
leading,
have.
Leading question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Let her say her values 100%. Have not changed. Don't hand her rope.
100%. That's why she... Because that then gave her the opportunity to come in and say, no, my values haven't changed, and then list her values.
Yep.
And, like, it was such a layup for her.
Uh-huh.
Phil, can you start that cutover, please?
My values have not changed, and I'm going to discuss every one of the, at least every point that you've made. But in particular, let's talk about fracking because we're here in Pennsylvania. I made that very clear in 2020. I will not ban fracking. I have not banned fracking as Vice President of the United States. And in fact, I was the tie-breaking vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which opened new leases for fracking. My position is that we have got to invest in diverse sources of energy so we reduce our reliance on foreign oil. We have had the largest increase in domestic oil production in history because of an approach that recognizes that we cannot over-rely on foreign oil. As it relates to my values, let me tell you, I grew up a middle-class kid raised by a hardworking mother who worked and saved and was able to buy our first home when I was a teenager. the values I bring to the importance of home ownership, knowing not everybody.
All right, so there you go. To me, this is very simple, and you can tie energy to the economy. If you're a Pennsylvania resident, as you know, 80% of this audience probably is, you know, you factor in South Jersey, Delaware, maybe some people that stream around the country, most of our audience, Pennsylvania, I would assume. If you care about the economy and a cheaper cost of living in Pennsylvania, you have to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, I know that, like, our audience is going to vote for Trump for the most part, but it's clear as day. And the economy has been impacted by energy. Why is your grocery prices up? Because it costs more. It costs more to create those products and then ship them in. That's why we have the inflation. She can sit here and say we're creating more energy and more oil and blah, 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 blah. Here's what I know. Okay, here's what I know. I'm paying $3.38 a gallon. My energy for air conditioning and soon to be for the winter with heating is astronomical. It wasn't under Donald Trump. I mean, I think we all realize this, so, but it's just so disgraceful, and it just, because, like, I'm angry with the way Trump dealt with some things last night. I'm a little agitated by Kamala's lies, but honestly, and I'm not making it more, it's one third of the pie. ABC is just so disgusting. Like, I mean, and we knew, and I shouldn't be triggered. I mean, I'm the one who gave the stats yesterday. It's 100% positive for Kamala. It's 93% negative for Trump, but if we could, to your point, and we don't have to play this, but I'm just saying, go back and listen to the way they framed the abortion flip-flop claim questioning and the line of questioning to Trump. And then listen to how they just teed her up for the economy on, we know your values haven't changed. Right there is the bias that Dawn talks about all the time in the media. They, you know what that was? Trump's question about the abortion issue was like Nick Castellanos getting hit by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And Kamala Harris getting propped up for that question on the economy with values not changing was like my little nephew, 5-year-old nephew Landon, at T-ball, where the coach literally placed the ball on the tee and said, okay, go right ahead, swing, but hold on, let me get away so you don't hit my finger. So aggravating.
One more, and then we have to break for Tony Bruno, who's chomping at the bit.
Oh, I know he's stewing.
He's stewing, too. Will there be, should there be, another debate? Trump went on with Sean Hannity last night after the debate. This is Cut 26, Phil. Go.
Campaign is saying tonight, Washington Post is reporting, that she wants a second debate.
That's
your answer?
She lost. She wants it because she lost.
Do you have an answer?
Well, I don't know. I have to think about it, but if you won the debate, I sort of think maybe I shouldn't do it. Why should I do another debate? She immediately said, we want another debate. That's, you know what happens when you're a prize fighter and you lose? You immediately want a new fight.
You want a rematch.
You want a rematch. The guy that won is sort of happy and thinking about it.
Would you be inclined to say yes? Or you
maybe if it was on a fair network, I would do that. But
I think let Hannity moderate it.
Yeah, no, I think
like I did Newsom and Ron DeSantis.
I think it would be fair. You would be fair, actually.
I would be
you
fair.
Want to know the truth.
I'd let you both talk. I'd let you go at each other.
I thought they would be fair. They weren't, but I felt very comfortable.
Yeah.
We have the best policy. She has no policy.
You know,
I'm not a Hannity fan, as many people know, but I do think he was fair with Newsom and DeSantis in that debate. Look, when I think about second debates, and I just jotted these down before the cut sheet, when it comes to the Trump perspective, I think he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. If he doesn't do it, it's viewed as him ducking her. If he does do it, keep in mind now she has the experience of one under her belt, and I think it's only natural to assume her confidence grows. But Harris also, from her perspective, she could rest on just the one good night, take the mainstream media praise. We gave you all the headlines at 6:04 this morning, and she could just ride right to November 5th now. Or she could, on the other side, she could come out and risk the equity she has built up, and it could completely evaporate, like her honeymoon phase over the last 10 days. Or she could build off of that and even have a better showing. So I think there's many ways to look at this. I do think Trump should demand it to be on Fox, and I don't think you need to have Hannity. Just put Brett Baer and Martha McCallum out there. They're very good at what they do. They're pretty down the middle, I think. Sure, they skew right, obviously, the network they work on. But I don't think Harris would agree to a Fox debate. And if for some reason she did, it will not be with any of their primetime people. I think it would be with a Baer and Martha McCallum. Or maybe even a Dana Perino, maybe a Harris Faulkner. Then there's no way she's sitting down with Sean Hannity. Zero chance.
Yeah, I think it would probably be NBC. Because CBS
has another home game for her.
Well, because it's ABC last night. The vice presidential debate goes October 1st with CBS. So would it be NBC then? NBC, Lester Holt, I think he would be good. He'd be certainly better than last night.
Oh, well, nobody could be worse than that. Yeah. Nobody could be worse than that. I mean, my God, after last night, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash look like MAGA fans.
By the way, I'm going to put this out there. There will be no other debates. I'm predicting it right now.
Okay, I think there's a chance.
8:36.
All right.
Prove me wrong.
You know what? Honestly, we always talk about trying to come up with new ideas, and I'm sure this has been mentioned before, but I know it'll never happen. Why not take one? Do it. It simulcasted anyway, right? So it was, yeah, technically it was ABC's production, but Fox carried it. Why not get a moderator from Fox, or just bottom line, get a moderator that's conservative, get a moderator that's liberal, and make it a 50-50? You want to take Kristen Welker and the dude down in Florida that does the national syndicated show that sounds like he's ready to die? Fine by me. Just give me some balance here. I'm not greedy. I don't need it to necessarily be Fox people. You want to give me Brett Baer and Kristen Welker? Okay, let's do that. You want to talk about fair, balanced impartiality? Let's do that.
Okay, I'm going to say something about just appearances. Trump, with his hair color, went a little darker.
I noticed that.
And I think he looks better as a blonde. Well, I like the blonde. I would do blonde highlights.
That's the analysis that we are all
seeking. That's my brilliant analysis.
I like that, Dawn. Enough of the issues. Let's talk about
let's
that.
Let's go Greg Stocker blonde.
Thank you, baby. So according to Lori on Fox and Friends this morning, Trump said he would not do it with Brett and Martha.
I did see that on social media. I didn't know whether that was true or not, but if you say that is and it was on TV, well, according to Trump, it's on TV. It's true. So, but if it came out of his mouth, then okay.
I think it'll be NBC.
Early voting has started. Pennsylvania starts voting Monday. There will be no more debates. Thank you.
Okay. Coming up next, Tony Bruno, live from Florida. We'll get him for a good half hour in here. We've got a big three to get to, the Morning Mystery Movie clip. A lot to hit on before we get up on out of here, but we ship it on down to Southwest Florida next here on Kale & Company.
Summer is still here. Beautiful weather through the weekend. No time like the present to get back out on the roads. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you find that luxury vehicle. You know you want it. You've been eyeing it. You've worked for it. You've earned it. Now go get it with a little help from my friends at Piazza. They have thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles from some of the most beautiful, powerful vehicles on our roadways right now. Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Just visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can stop by one of their many dealers across Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
NFL Week 2 is here. And you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New to FanDuel? You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Let's look ahead to Thursday night. The Bills at Miami Dolphins. Tyreek Hill. Is he going to play? How about this same game party for you? Dalton Kincaid for an anytime touchdown. Tyreek Hill, I think he's going to have a big game. On the over, receiving yards, and Josh Allen on the over for passing yards. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Do it right now. Sign up right now. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of 1210 WPHT and the NFL. 21 and over. President of Pennsylvania. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms of sportsbook at FanDuel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Bruno, good morning. What up, sir?
Good morning, and thank you for joining me today. I don't know about you, but I had a hard time sleeping. Not because of the debate. I mean, everybody knows what happened. The biggest loser last night, ABC, Disney, David Muir. Here's the thing that really gets me about David Muir. According to the ads, David Muir is the number one news anchor in all of television. What does that tell you? When people sit down and watch a guy who looks like a robot, the guy has no emotion, no juice, no nothing. And the fact that that debate last night, that Kamala Harris, and everybody loves fact checkers, 21 unchecked lies they allowed her to go on with. And again, Trump wasn't on his A game. Obviously, he took the bait, especially with the stupid comment that she made about the rallies. She baited him because she's been working for a week while she's not at Penzi's spice store in Pittsburgh doing staged events. You know, she's being told what to say. The thing about the debate format I don't like, guys, is that they're not allowed to question each other. And that's the thing. You see how they could say, well, we're going to ask you that. Shut your mic off. All this other stuff. The debate should not be moderators who have the questions and then decide what the topics are. The abortion lies that she told, fact check, she lied. There are multiple states that allow abortion up until birth. And so when the lies go unchecked, and we all know a lot of people aren't into politics now. Here we are on September 11th. By the way, 23 years ago today, we all know where we were and never forget. So that's the most important thing on this day, which I remember every single year and everybody else should.
Yep.
But, ABC was a big loser and everybody knew it. I mean, there were stats that David Muir gave 100% positive commentary on Kamala Harris and 90% negative on Trump.
Yep.
So everybody knew going in ABC was a joke. I don't even know who the chick was. Who was that Lindsay chick? Does anybody know?
No, nobody knows.
I think the last name is Davis, but Lindsay I'm still not even certain who she is.
And by the way, why Pennsylvania is such a big state? Why not take Tamala Edwards, who does the Political Sunday show for 6 ABC, most powerful ABC affiliate? I would have rather seen a local mom like Tam do that. They clearly wanted a woman and a person of color, but I would say Tamala Edwards, she would have been more fair and she would have brought it home in a more like mom common sense kind of way.
So what do you think, Tony? Do we, assuming in a perfect world for the debate, unmuted mics, notes, and then a moderator from both political spectrums?
I think there should just be the two candidates and a referee. Judge Mills Lane is no longer available. Maybe Judge Joe Brown. We get somebody in the middle and then let the candidates yell at each other for an hour and a half with no commercial breaks. And then let's have a Pier 6 brawl. Let's have a WWE style debate.
Yeah.
Let's see Kamala Harris without a week of cramming somewhere in Pittsburgh try to come up. Because let's be honest, her closing statement was basically the same stuff we hear at every one of her rallies.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other tell to me is that after the debate, Trump's back out on the floor talking to all the media, and she's in a back room somewhere with her husband on a stage, right in front of all of her sycophants. So she didn't go out and take one question after a debate that people say she won and probably did. But my question is, if people who had not paid attention to politics all year and now are sitting at home on a Tuesday night, the school year is underway, and watch that, did Kamala Harris impress more people, or did she come off as smug and then she did the thing with the hand underneath her chin? I think a lot of people who never saw her before probably said, man, she's smug. She's laughing at talks about tragedy. And she was so well rehearsed, and she had a week to prepare for that. And she did a good job, but she was lying and nobody fact checked her. That's the biggest take from this. The fact that she got away with 21 irrefutably false statements, and yep, not once did David Muir or that Lindsay chick, mm-hmm, ever correct her,
yep,
is the biggest embarrassment of the night, in my opinion.
In regards to a second debate, one of our great listeners, Marcus Aurelius, tweeted us and he said, there will be a second debate, but it will be in late October after all the mail-in and early votes have been cast.
Exactly.
So it'll have no impact. Is there a cutoff point if you're Trump, if you want to do a second one, where you say, okay, we have to do this, but we have to do it by September 27th?
Who knows? I mean, obviously Trump doesn't make the rules. ABC got the debate. They made the rules. And obviously they brought in two really biased moderators. And it's amazing that CNN actually has more credibility as a debate moderator than ABC News,
yes,
once one of the greatest news organizations on earth, now the laughingstock. We can all agree. And it's not, me, I'm a media guy, but the media to me has been the biggest enemy of democracy in this country,
yep,
the last 10 years. We have the most corrupt media on earth, and Pravda right now, the people who run Pravda and those Russian channels, they're grimacing at just how inept and corrupt our media is. They're the real bad guys here. You know, the politicians are going to be politicians. And watching all those people walking around that convention floor, is there a worse group of media people than smarmy media people who go to political events? Many of them eating. I saw Andrea Mitchell eating Chinese food in the room. I mean, these people are just professional grifters. Mm-hmm. And there are no journalists in there. They're all people who want to be important, and they all want to have their opinions. And that's fine. Have your opinions. Listen to them, whoever you want. But the bottom line, there is no, other than media people at the Super Bowl. You know, but those media people at the Super Bowl are there having a good time. The media people who go to conventions and go to political events, they're all angry, ignorant, low-life crumb bums.
Crumb bums.
If I could be nice.
Crumb yeah. bums.
Crumb
You're a creep.
Crumb creep. Creep cowards. And
You're
I want to fight those people. I want to fight them. And I'm wearing my my Jim Kenney, the worst mayor in Philadelphia history, tribute shirt today.
I see that.
To yeah, celebrate.
Yeah.
To celebrate the Constitution. That they, you know what they didn't show last night? They didn't show the Constitution. They're in the Constitution Center.
YouTube.com.
They didn't even show it.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT if you want to see Tony's Jim Kenney shirt. Blue with a clown's nose on it. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Lastly,
Crumb creep coward.
Frank Rizzo. God bless.
We'll continue the conversation in the 9 o'clock hour because we're going to keep you around for a little bit longer for sure. Taylor Swift comes out and she gives her endorsement last night on social media, and I think Dawn and I are both on the same page when we said that. There's no doubt that she was going to vote for Harris, but she wanted to wait to see if, in fact, she, quote, held her own and didn't crash and burn. And she didn't crash and burn last night for sure. But do you think the Swift endorsement carries any weight whatsoever?
I don't know. Who knows? You know, young girls like her. But her comments about how she's even-handed and all this other stuff. She's vapid. Let's be honest. Is it vapid or vapid? That's one of those words.
Vapid.
Vapid.
I like vapid better, but vapid, I don't vape, and I don't smoke anymore, and I don't even inhale, and I don't even chew. I don't even put a pinch in between my cheek and gum like we used to back in the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
A little pinch.
Little red man.
Yeah. A little pinch. Did you ever do the pinch between your lip and
cheek and gum?
Your gums?
I did in high school.
No, I never did chewing tobacco. I never did the little bullets. I never did any. I remember back in baseball back in the 93 season when Lenny Dykstra and a lot of NBA and NFL players and MLB players were involved in the big, you know, chewing tobacco controversy. People where their faces had to be cut off because of the chewing tobacco. So chewing tobacco in the 90s. Was bad, but they're still doing it in some places. But that's to me, I never got that. It's nicotine, obviously, and you're addicted to it.
Yeah.
But I don't get people putting the big wads in their mouth. I mean, what pleasure does that give you?
I used to love it.
No. By the way, you know who the other big loser was? Me last night.
Why?
You know
why?
Why?
I was not at the Murphy gas station in Loveland, Sugarland, Texas, at a Murphy gas station where one person won $800 million in the Mega Millions last night.
Wow.
One person, $800 million. If you want to take it in lump sums, you know, you'll be collecting $20 a year for the rest of your life. But if you take the cash amount, this shows you how corrupt the government is. $800 million, one person won it. If you want to take the cash payout, $404 million.
Yep. Wow.
$404 million. Half of the money is going to the government.
Yep.
Is that an unrealized capital gain?
Oh.
How do you tax the fact that you won $404 million out of an $800 million jackpot and the government takes half of it? Tell me how that's good.
Here's the million-dollar question, or maybe the $800 million question, Tony Bruno. Had you have won that last night, would you be reporting for work this morning, sir?
Oh, no. I would be down there. I'd go right back to my house and keep doing work, and it's going up nicely. But I'm coming up short. I may have to do a GoFundMe soon.
Yeah.
I may have to ask people to don't send any more money to Taylor Swift or Kamala Harris or Donald Trump or any of these politicians. Send your money to dear old Captain Tony because it'll do good. And I'll even give you a week in my house.
Wow.
If you come up with the
Look at that.
Weekend at Bruno's.
Nice.
Sounds like a movie.
Weekend at Bruno's.
Weekend at Bruno's.
By the way, we're streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. Everybody watching right now, please hit the like button, the thumbs up button. It's free. Bye. And please hit the subscribe button. Everybody that's watching, everybody, please hit the subscribe button. It's all free, but it helps us out tremendously. It costs you nothing.
Yes. Sorry. Coming
and don't
up,
forget to follow me at yes. Tony Bruno Show on X.
Yes.
Because I'm being throttled again. Being throttled.
No. Well, oh, no.
It sounds like a personal problem.
Not banned. Not banned. Throttled.
Yeah. I got you.
Coming Robin, up next. Stop it.
Yeah. Exactly,
oh,
Robin.
Man.
Put that stuff away.
See where we're going here.
All right. All
David
the other...
Muir is shutting. David Muir is shutting me down.
David Muir.
It's gonna be a wild 9 o'clock hour. Isn't
yes, it is.
Oh, man.
We still have to get Bruno's thoughts on the Tyreek Hill arrest and also the Philadelphia Eagles Packers game from last Wednesday, and more thoughts on the election and the debate and what looms ahead here in the final 54 days or so. 9 o'clock hour, Bruno sticks around, and we are back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.